Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
They gotta win this damn game tonight. Cavs gotta win. Good God Almighty. I need some positivity. I got no identity out of them. I need some positivity. We gotta get this thing going in the right direction here. Gotta get the nose up on this thing. I hate the vibe that last hour, the whole not
interestingly
not flags,
enough,
but everything
like,
else.
You said the no identity thing. These games have all been, for the most part, blowouts. We haven't had any situational basketball in this series. So I wonder, not like Orlando. If somebody asked me, have they been playing your audio in Orlando Sports Talk Radio when you were guaranteeing a sweep? And I'm like, I don't know
if they have Sports Talk Radio in Orlando.
No offense. It's such a transient city, too. I don't know
how
hardcore their basketball sports talk is.
They're very into traffic.
Okay.
When we were down there for Disney last year, they are very into traffic.
Well, I wonder what they feel, too, with their series
radio.
Because their team has been totally different home and away also. So are they assuming they're going to go up to Cleveland and probably be up against it? I mean, Vegas is. Vegas thinks the Cavs are going to win tonight by, what, four and a half points? So you have played much better at home, and young teams do what on the road? They pee down their leg. I mean, we saw that the first two games.
Yeah.
We left them open. We funneled the ball into certain positions for them to shoot threes, and they could not hit. And we won those two games pretty comfortably. I know there were some moments where they closed the gap down to four, but you pushed it back to double digits. I mean, those two games, you were in command.
Joe Varden from The Athletic, he was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. He was asked whether or not this thing's on the brink for your wine and gold.
It is on the brink. This is all on the brink because say what you will about a long runway, like the amount of money that this team is going to cost. You can't go out in the first round twice as a four seed, to say nothing of the second half falters that they've had the last couple years, which has happened a bunch too. You just can't do that with this kind of money on the line. So if they want to stick together, they got to come out and play tomorrow night.
I got to get this thing going here tonight. They got to get it done. I got to listen. You win this series, then all I can do is sit there and think about, hey, let's calm down. Let's not make rash decisions here. Let's think. They lose this series, this place is going to be hellacious. We're going to be talking about firing everybody, trading everybody, blaming Donovan, ripping him, ripping Darius. I mean, they're already ripping Darius for crying out loud. Like, we're trying to get it to another level. And so if they can win this series, because I'm watching, you know, Porzingis goes down yesterday. I got injuries across other teams today. I know we're banged up too, but it's like, man, there's ways that we can kind of take that next step. And I want a competitive series. I don't care if Porzingis is good or not, or good enough to play or not because of the injury. I'm looking for anything to make a rash, calm decision, not to cover up for mistakes. I think we're past the point of covering up for mistakes. I think these last two losses, like yesterday, we had people calling in, Anthony, who like wanted them to lose. Because they wanted the Cavs to learn a lesson. I think we're learning a lesson right now. You can't run it back as is. There's going to be some changes. I just don't want to make changes out of bitterness. And that goes for Donovan, too. I don't want him to make a decision out of bitterness or anger or frustration. So that goes for everybody, not just Dan Gilbert, not just the fans. I'm talking Donovan, the whole thing. I want this thing to work out. If that means that Donovan has to be a number two with somebody, then fine. Or if that means that we do have to liquidate that asset and help ourselves out with you know who, which we will talk about momentarily, then I think we can do that. But I want to make a decision with a clear head. And beating Orlando helps me do that. Then it's not where I wash my hands of everything and everything's fine. I want to see them execute. I'm a Cavs fan. I want them to win, but I'm feeling a lot better about this whole ordeal.
Yeah, and I have no idea how to feel about this team other than the fact that you feel like they should be better at home, but you also feel like guys are due. I mean, did not shoot the ball well in every single game, with the exception of Darius. He's the only one, and people have more complaints about Darius than anybody else. You how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But Strus, Niang, like, these guys have not hit in any of the four games. You feel like they are all collectively due. I think the number in the last game was they were like wide open threes. I don't know, what was it, 3 of 17 or something? They're just not connecting. They're not hitting when it's open or when guys are flying out at them. Whatever it is, it's just not happening. So part of it is I think Darius and Donovan Mitchell need to find a way to stress the defenses. They need to create. They need to play downhill. Because if you're going to play two small guards, what is the advantage of that if they're not playing downhill? If they are giving up the ball like it's a hot potato, they already are going to struggle around the rim finishing, especially Donovan, yeah, with no lift, no burst. So where is that advantage of playing the two small guards together? It has to be that they are decisive with the basketball, that they are beating at the point of attack the defenders, and they haven't done any of that, especially that last game in the second half.
What is Orlando doing to clog us? Or is this simply decision-making and being afraid to make those decisions?
Well, the one adjustment they made, they put Jalen Suggs on Donovan Mitchell, and he is harassing him off the ball, on the ball. And so the Cavs aren't really getting started in their sets, mm-hmm, until late in the shot clock. And then at that point, you know, you're seeing a lot of one-on-one and hoping. You know, remember how well the ball moved for the Cavs earlier this year? When they were able to find the open shooters and keep that ball moving.
Earlier in the series.
Well, and at times, yeah. Or I'd even say the first half. The first half of game four.
Yeah, you're right.
They put up 60 points. They were up 9, and they were moving the ball confidently. Also, Donovan Mitchell was getting to the foul line. Well, why is Donovan getting to the foul line? He had the Orlando Magic defenders playing a little bit on their heels. So he got Suggs up in the air on a pump fake, 3 free throws. He was able to drive and get down right around the basket, pump fake, get guys up in the air. The second half, not playing with that confidence, not getting past guys off the dribble. And so a lot of those easy opportunities totally went out the window.
216-474-0092. LeBron's season came to an end last night. He was asked, is this his last game as an LA Laker?
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Is this his last game as a Laker?
Gut feeling, yeah. I thought so.
Then where's he going?
Wait, I have no idea. I have no idea because he has a player option that's worth about $60 million. You also have
16 or 60.
60. And you also have the added component of his son coming into the draft most likely. So
I think anybody would be willing to spend a second-round pick on his son.
Yeah, but like I just said.
Second-round pick.
For anybody poo-pooing that, I mean, the Cavs had Ty Jerome on the roster all year. So I don't think that's the end of the world, you know, especially considering what these teams do, how they play,
yeah,
the amount of guys they play in rotations, like, whatever. If it gets you LeBron, who, if you're wondering how good LeBron still is, he had 30 points last night, 11 assists, 9 rebounds, 4 steals. It's one of the best players in the game.
He's still one of the best players in the game. Now, I've said before, and this was, granted, this was a couple of months ago. I had said before that I didn't necessarily need him back. I thought and it wasn't a personal thing. You know I'm a LeBron fan. It's just, we had our fun. I can't keep going back to that well. If I go back to the well, I'll welcome LeBron back. And the reason I'm going to welcome LeBron back isn't because I think that they're going to win a championship with LeBron, even though those are absurd numbers. And he's approaching, what, 41 years old, for crying out loud? At some point, that's going to fall off the face of the earth, and it'll probably fall off the face of the earth ugly. But you just said it. Because, hey, in the last hour, we got in a knockdown dragout about whether or not the Cavs should even have made the trade for Donovan Mitchell. I'm thinking, man, we're really doing some hemming and hawing and axe grinding over Donovan Mitchell, for crying out loud. At least when we did it back in the day, Donovan Mitchell's a fine player. He'll never be LeBron James. At least we did it for the player of the generation, perhaps the player of all time. So there's a difference in worth there. And also, you were so right when you mentioned the Kobe scenario. Kobe's last season. Describe the atmosphere in Kobe's last season with the LA Lakers, Anthony?
They didn't care if they went 0-82. They wanted to see Kobe one last time. They came to shoot arounds, or they came, you know, 3 hours before games, the minute they could get into the building to watch him warm up. They brought their signs like it was WWE, you know, Monday Night Raw. It was incredible. And they documented every last aspect of it, and you can imagine they'd be doing the same with LeBron this time around. People traveled all over the NBA to go see Kobe one last
time.
Now,
do you think if he were to come back, would it be for two seasons or one?
Well, tough to know. I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with his health too, right? Like if he sustains any kind of a significant injury, I mean, it would seem like that could be a wrap.
Yeah.
So it would be one of those cherish every last game. And, you know, he shows he can still help you win.
I'd like to see it for two more years if he were to do it. But it's also, like, I don't have any visions of grandeur that they would win a world championship. I mean, I think they could go to, like, an Eastern Conference Finals or something like that. Like, I don't think you're just going to go and slog around under 500 and that's going to be the end
Not
of LeBron's
the East.
Tenure. Not in the East. You're right about that. But I don't think that you're going to be a serious, serious competitor for an NBA Finals. Doesn't mean we can't have fun. And I've also said before, if he goes anywhere else, if he were to leave L.A., I think that for his legacy, and he cares very much about his legacy, I don't think he'd just end up in Phoenix, Anthony. Like, I don't think he could go to Oklahoma City and play with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and then he's going to be perfectly happy playing there. I think it's either L.A. or Cleveland. I don't even think Miami. I think he either stays in L.A. or I think he comes back here, and that's how I think he finishes off his career. And I'm fine with him finishing off his career here because at the end of all this, like, I'm over here making bargains saying, well, just beat Orlando and then we can make decisions that are rational. That might have something to do with Donovan Mitchell as well. And so if we can make decisions that are rational, maybe a rational decision, you got to make a lot of money work. I mean, you got to probably involve a third team and a lot of the things. And Donovan's got to go. I probably want to hold on to Evan Mobley every possible way I can.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I'm not giving up Evan Mobley just to have this swan song. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. But I'd like to try to make it work then. 216-474-0092. Would you take LeBron back on this team now that he says he's not going to answer that question about his future with the LA Lakers? 840 West, Justin Termini about this. We'll ask you guys about this next. 216-474-0092. You want a third go with LeBron and, quote, it's SoFi on steroids. On the Fan. Coming up in moments, quote, it's SoFi on steroids. Do I make a personal begging plea again to certain people out there who might be listening? You want me to do it?
Oh, I would have thought somebody already would have sent something to you.
We'll find out coming up here momentarily. First, don't miss the NFL draft reaction from around the country, and especially Jonathan Peterlin tonight. For reaction to Game 5, download the free Odyssey app today to listen to our coverage on your smart speakers or on the go and wherever you are. Doesn't matter. You can listen to it. It's fantastic. You're going to love it. Listen to Peterlin. It's going to be great. It's going to be strong stuff. By the way, I want to make sure people know this. Just a real quick little housekeeping thing. I think Nick might have corrected it, but I was driving to that baseball game yesterday, the game I almost got thrown out of, and Nick Wilson had said I was the one who said that Brandon Ayuk was a system-wide receiver. And I went, no, that was Anthony. I texted him, and I said, that was Lima. That was not me.
Yeah.
He attributed it to me, and I go, no. That's Tone.
Yeah. I've been pretty clear that Kyle Shanahan gets a whole lot of a bunch of guys than I think other coaches could.
Because Brian McFadden put out something from CBS Sports, in former Pittsburgh Steeler. He said that Omar Khan is working on a big, big deal right now. That was yesterday afternoon.
Which is interesting because, I mean, you just had the draft. The draft has come and gone.
Yeah, but still got to talk about paying guys. I mean, T. Higgins, that whole thing. Like, you know, it just because the draft just came and went doesn't mean that those guys still don't want to get their money. They're going to want to get their money, and now these teams have to figure out whether or not they want to pay them their money. And for the 49ers, they got to figure out now with their new wide receiver, the kid out of Florida, they got to figure out what they're going to do with him and whether or not they want him right there in the system or if he becomes the third head in that monster with them, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and then possibly a fourth one if you want to throw in Christian McCaffrey. Of course, I'm waiting for him to fall off the cliff right
now.
Yeah,
I'm kind of, you know how I feel about Kyle Shanahan, and I feel about him very similar to, say, the Miami Heat and Eric Spoelstra. I'd be very, very nervous about taking guys away from San Francisco and expecting the same.
You look at those drafts over the last few years. They are not as good as what people would just assume with the San Francisco 49ers. They made some trades, and it's kind of like I've compared the Browns to a McMansion before. It's like, hey, man, that's some great curb appeal, but it gets a little bit thin in the skin afterwards. I feel the same way a little bit about San Francisco. Like, they've made some trades, and they've done some Robin Peter to pay Paul. I can't say yes because they've gone out there and they've done exceedingly well. And I think I've tried to cry wolf so many times, but man, once you start to get in those middle rounds and things like that, there's some things that you need to. The house doesn't have great bones, the way that some people would say. Like the Rams, they've had some nice drafting here without even a first round pick over the last few years. That's a house with good bones.
Their most recent one, it could be an all timer. Before this year.
Speaking of houses, we'll talk about the house that they play in coming up here momentarily. 216-474-0092. Now, you want to make it clear, you wouldn't trade Evan Mobley.
No,
to bring back LeBron.
No, I as much as I would love that final season, maybe two season farewell act from LeBron James, how I think it would be awesome. It would be all part. I mean, they could start finally building the statue while he's playing. I think that would be really cool to see that and see the progress of that.
So let me put it on you right now.
If the one thing I'm not doing is trading Evan Mobley, because I don't need just to entertain that. I don't need to blow up the future of the Cavs, and the future of the Cavs still hinges on Evan Mobley and his development.
Makes sense. I just want to know how far you're willing to go and if there is an actual...
Because I want to play Rob Pelinka for a second. Or Rob Lowe, whichever how you want to see.
They're the same person.
Yeah. If I'm Rob Pelinka and I'm on the phone with Anthony Lyman, I go, we ain't getting anywhere without Evan Mobley.
Mm-hmm.
You're hanging up?
Yeah, I'm not doing it for Evan Mobley.
What if it came out that they could have had it? Because you know how these things go. Hey, you could have had LeBron James, but you decided that Evan Mobley wasn't worth it. That puts an obscene amount of pressure on Evan Mobley with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Sure, but, you know, it's hard to draft guys. I know right now everybody, I think, is overreacting to Evan's issues. He's 22. Yeah, he's not Anthony Edwards right now. He can't be things he's not. But what he is going to be is a dominant defensive player his whole career. And whether or not you've lowered your expectations, no longer KG, Giannis, Tim Duncan, you know, a mixture of all of the best players we've ever seen that are, you know, around 6'11 or taller. He still can be Bam Adebayo, right? Just dominant defensive player who is still absolutely a cornerstone piece. And I think he's going to be that his whole career. And I hope he's in Cleveland a long, long time. I'm not giving him up just to say goodbye to LeBron.
Because for a second, when you said that over the break, I was thinking, man, and I go, no, you can't. I'm the one who wants to be measured about this. And because I don't know where they stand. I don't know what their identity is. And because I don't know what their identity is, I want to say a bunch of crazy stuff that I don't know if I actually mean later on. So I don't want to do that.
And we're getting caught up in the moment. We are.
I don't want to be too caught up in the moment.
And I've been part of it. We basically trashed every single player and coach on the Cavs and the GM over the last week. It's been two games. So yes, we're all overreacting.
Yeah.
Of course we are. No two games should ever change the entire course of a franchise in the NBA unless you were at the stage, like say the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics are at a point where it is truly championship or bust. The Cavs were not that. The Cavs are not even close to that. Yes, we were hoping with Donovan Mitchell to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but if you heaped those kind of expectations that like the Celtics have, or when it was KD and Klay and Steph and Draymond, it's just not the same. Like we can't expect a team that's never won a playoff series and only won one playoff game to then go to the NBA Finals. What, just because we want them to? I mean, nobody else around the NBA was thinking that.
No, but it's also realistic to want more out of them. Like it's realistic to say, all right, I got too excited about it. It should have been an Eastern Conference Finals, even though the month of January was great. Maybe we'll have another great month of January next year, but we got to get through this month right now. It might have been unrealistic to do it because you think of the Warriors. The Warriors had to fire Mark Jackson before. Like we've gone through all these machinations before. And LeBron had to run into the wall a couple of times before he broke through with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So there is that as well. And we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. I got ahead of myself here. But I also know that, hey, you set this thing up. If this thing fails, this is going to be a massive disappointment. Like I'm kicking around because you set this thing up, maybe the biggest disappointment that we've seen. Now, I'll hold off on that for a second. Because I want to see what tonight does, and I really don't want to give that away and sound like an idiot, especially if they win, because I still don't know, and this is what frustrates me, is I don't know their identity. So I can't stand on them and say, this is what you do right, and this is what you don't do right, because It just crisscrosses every single time they play.
But I'll tell you, you know, you bet on young talent. Think about Minnesota, how they were feeling a year ago when they were ousted in five games, Denver Nuggets, after they had made the Rudy Gobert trade. You know how many games they won last year? 42. They were 42-40. Think about what they were doing in sports talk radio about the future of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
A year.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Later, they're a team that could go to the championship or could go to the West. You know, like, they are that good right now. Obviously, the Nuggets are going to be in their way, but you just never know how these things play out. They feel really good about their future now. Am I supposed to just feel nothing about the Cavs? The important thing is they still have good players.
That's true.
I think less of them today, but let's see what happens over the next, hopefully, two games. Hopefully, the Cavs just close it out and win the next two.
And Milwaukee looks rickety all of a sudden. Like, it looks like their future isn't as bright as we thought it was. If Philly checks out on this, and it looks like Philly is going to check on this, you know Philly fans are going to be calling up about trading Joel Embiid. Like, that's going to happen. Not here, but they're going to call WIP, and they're going to be talking about trading Joel Embiid. Well, they did last year.
It's a total blow-up, that situation.
Then it becomes that blow-up. Like, not everything. I have to understand this, too. It would be a massive disappointment, and maybe you don't care, and I don't care about other teams. A lot of these builds don't get to the ultimate prize. So I got to take this as far as I can possibly go. That's why this series matters. And if the series doesn't go to where we need it to go, well, then, yeah, you know what? And even if it does, I'm willing to think about different things about our future and about the feeling to the fans, the realistic feeling of what we're going to get out of this, a guy who continuously defies age, defies time, and that's LeBron. And if I can make this thing work, I don't want to give up Evan Mobley either. I don't want to start saying things I have to take back. If I had to part with just about everybody else, I'll part with just about everybody else, including Donovan. Now, I don't know if it's just Evan Mobley and LeBron, how far that's going to go, but I think it's going to still be a very good feeling compared to where we've been before. 216-474-0092. Matt in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
What's up, boys? How are you?
Hey, Matt, not bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to bring him back. Get LeBron back. I agree with Tony. I probably would not trade Mobley, but at the same time, you know, if that's the guy that gets it over the top, I would probably consider it. I would get rid of Garland and his $35 million or whatever they're paying him, and I'd probably consider Mobley too. And then build around LeBron and Mitchell. I mean, there's your guys. Try to get another championship.
I mean, I've already got one, and because of the feeling I have, and thank you very much for the call, Lima is right. Now, I didn't want to before because I'm like, how many times can we redo it? How much pressure would be on him? I think after all this, it would be a let-up. It'd be like air coming out from underneath our collar to have him back. And to go, okay, we'll go as far as we can, but we're going to sit there and enjoy this generation of basketball for what it was and what it still is. And into the future, knowing that, hey, he would retire a Cleveland Cavalier, and I think that would be the right thing to do. Because I can't see him. I don't want to water down anything. I don't want to see him in any other jersey. I don't want to see him if he's in a Laker jersey. If he wants to stay with the Lakers, stay with the Lakers. That's fine. I don't want to see him with the Clippers. I don't want to see him with Golden State. Don't do that. Like, either come back to Cleveland or stay with the Lakers. Make someone come to you. Make that work if you have I don't know about their cap situation.
The Golden State one, because they have players the Lakers would want. Kuminga is some young player that you can build around came on strong the second half of the year.
They're talking about the end of that iteration. That's a possibility that
you
can happen.
For 1 second, like we've seen LeBron in Miami. We've seen LeBron. Can you imagine if he ends up playing with Steph Curry after the wars that they went through, but and he's playing with Draymond potentially?
You want him in Golden State?
No, I'm saying from a spectacle standpoint, who's not watching that?
Oh, everybody's watching it.
Yeah. I think for the NBA, probably pretty good.
His legacy is still greater than that. I'd like to see those guys maybe with the Lakers, not necessarily him. So you brought this up during about last night. We got to mention this because there's not much new to say. The Browns met with state officials. This was over the weekend or last week. This was reported yesterday that they have unveiled plans to them. Cell phones were taken out of the room, right?
Yeah.
In the state capitol, the state house?
Yep.
Cell phones were taken out of the room. There are renderings, correct? Describe to everybody what the renderings were described as.
I talked to somebody.
Tell everybody.
I immediately made a phone call because I knew somebody who knew somebody. And then I got to talk to somebody. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing, Anthony, these renderings.
Give them the quote.
They said, SoFi on steroids.
How do you get more on steroids than SoFi? That's like saying the Ultimate Warrior on steroids, allegedly. How do you get more on steroids than SoFi Stadium?
He confirmed it.
Would it be open air? Like, would it be a big canopy underneath or on top?
No, just that it would be the most state-of-the-art facility in probably all of American sports. And you'd have that right here in Brook Park, Ohio.
If you are driving to a certain facility in Berea, Ohio, Lima and I will drop everything we're doing right after the show. Show us the renderings. We will leave our phones in our cars or Lima's SUV and in my truck. We will leave our phones away. And if we tell anybody, you can have the good son out of my three. I promise you. You can have his cat. I won't tell anybody. I want to see the renderings. Once everybody sees the renderings, I think that's going to be a done deal. But if you're saying SoFi on steroids, if that's what people are hearing, how do you say no to that? Well, how do you say no?
You say no if you see the price tag and whether or not you're going to be willing to pay for it.
And in the words of the late, great Big Tom Callahan, why say no when it feels so good to say yes? Justin Termini, NBA Today on SiriusXM NBA Radio. He joins us next. Do the Cavs still have this series in the bag? He'll answer that on The Fan. Cavs Magic tonight at 8, Game 5 of the Eastern Conference playoff. Do I sound anywhere like the guy on NBC? A little bit on?
Kind of.
All right, yeah.
Are they going to bring him back if they get the TV package?
Is he still with us?
I don't know.
You got to get
it. Well, now I got to figure out what his name was.
9 o'clock, we got to get the round ball rock going.
That's what we'll do.
Hello, Justin.
Yeah, well, you made with your voice there, it didn't sound anything like the NBC guy. It still made this series sound a little bit more fun than it's actually been watching. So you did a good job there selling it, I guess.
Justin Termini, NBA Today on NBA SiriusXM Radio. He joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tone, take us to business.
All right, it's been four games. It's been pretty much four blowouts. As bad as the Cavs looked the last two games, they are favored tonight by 4.5 points. Do you still give the Cavs the edge? And now what is a best of three?
I mean, it seems to be one of those home and home series, right, where the home team is just going to win every game. But I don't know. I mean, I guess if everything's all right in that locker room, because when you lose two games the way that they lost, it looks like things are unraveling, right? So as long as everything's good there, I guess. But, you know, you're going to need, I would say, I don't know who people are pinpointing out there, but, I mean, Darius Garland, I would say, has got to be far more aggressive because he's been, Evan Mobley's been more aggressive than him offensively.
Darius is the only one who's been able to hit threes for the Cavs, but he's taking five a game. They probably need him to double that for them to have a better shot because of what it opens up for the rest of the team, especially if he's going to shoot 40%+ from three. But, Justin, it's very interesting for someone who has a max deal, for somebody that's been an all-star, and for somebody that just a few years ago averaged 23 points and 8 assists and shot it really well from three-point range, He is battling confidence issues. How is that the deal, you know, this far into his career?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the postseason before as well, right? Like, I thought after the first two games it was going to be one of those things where, all right, last year, you know, the lights or whatever the comments made by Jared Allen were, the lights were too bright and we weren't prepared. I thought that was something that they were going to turn and then do to Orlando, since Orlando hasn't been here before. But the team that looks like a deer in headlights the last couple of games is Cleveland. And, you know, more surprising, I guess, has been, you know, Garland, just because I think he's such a talented guy, but to not have the confidence issues. And that's what I said. It's not like the shots aren't going in. He's just not being aggressive with the shot. He's got to be far more aggressive. And then these second halves from Donovan Mitchell have been flabbergasting as well, because I've been a guy that's been critical of Mitchell, and that was regular seasons in Cleveland have been awesome. You go back to the bubble, like he was awesome in the bubble in that seven-game series, exchanging like the 50-point games with Jamal Murray. But really the last 3 years, he got outplayed by Jalen Brunson twice. Last year in the first round against the Knicks, the year before when Brunson was in Dallas and he was in Utah, he outplayed him there. And then this postseason hasn't been fantastic. I know he's coming off the knee issue, but to me it's three consecutive postseasons where Donovan Mitchell hasn't been fantastic.
Justin Termini joining us NBA Today, SiriusXM Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Termini Radio. That's if you can actually spell it right. Justin, for Donovan, like, so, I mean, you're talking big picture stuff. You're talking legacy with him. I think that he's chasing after legacy. I think that he saw Dame Lillard in Portland and doesn't want to be that. But does he have to accept his role as a number two with a team that has a different number one?
I mean, I think he's a number two on a championship caliber team, but I'm also somebody, we saw what Brunson did the other day. I think Brunson's probably a number two on a championship team. Very
well, that's
rarely.
That's what he wants. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about just making a lot of money. I think he definitely wants to win.
Yeah. And I'm saying, like, he's probably, you asked me if he's like a number two, right? Yeah, I think he's a number two. It's Donovan, like, when is a guy, Donovan Mitchell's a good player. Name me the last guy that won a championship is the best player that's of Donovan Mitchell's stature. I mean, I can't think of one. The 2004 Pistons, everybody seems to go back to. I mean, that's
6'4 count? The 6'4 count?
Like what, Dwayne Wade?
And I was going to say Steph Curry.
Oh, well, Steph Curry's just in another stratosphere, right?
Okay, well, that's another team that's wanted of his stature. I mean, I know he's a better, much better basketball player.
I was talking about stature in regards to placement of the sport. I apologize.
Oh, well, never mind. Then,
not size. Yeah, not size.
Well, you said stature. I was thinking something else. Okay, go ahead.
Well, the Donovan.
Where do you want me to go?
Yeah, Justin.
I was talking to Tone, not you, yeah. Justin.
Oh, okay.
Justin,
all right. To specify.
The Donovan part of this is going to be confusing for Cavs fans to digest, because he is somebody who, just his first year with the Cavs, he was sixth in MVP voting. He was second team All-NBA. This year, he was having the best statistical season he has ever had in the NBA, so he seemed to be getting better and better. But we all know that if he wants to go somewhere else, you know, the Cavs are going to have to trade him. And yet, he's also, while he's clearly the best Cavs player right now, he's also struggling in the playoffs. So what am I supposed to do with all that information as a Cavs fan?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you're going to have multiple changes, because it looks like maybe a change with him, maybe a change with J.B. Bickerstaff in the offseason as well. And I actually had J.B. Bickerstaff in the running for Coach of the Year. Now, this is very early on, right, when they're going through, I think, that 17-1 stretch. I'm going injuries left and right, and this guy's got him winning, because he was one of the favorites to be fired at the start of the year. Then they go on that 17-1 run, despite the Mobley injury, the Garland injury. So I put him in the mix for, like, how could you ignore this guy for Coach of the Year? Now to, you know, this point where it's like, could he be on his way out at the end of the season? And then obviously it's the same with Donovan Mitchell. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you want a guy that doesn't want to be there? Gilbert made those comments, and he was kind of lukewarm when he responded to those comments. It seems like it'd be a lot to hang over an organization's head as well. Like, does our star even want to be here? I don't know how they handle that in the locker room.
Well, I think he also wants to keep them honest. I think that's what Donovan Mitchell wants. I mean, because I know that if he's going to be the number one on this team, there's definitely going to have to be some changes, whether that means the head coach or whether that means with roster construction, because – I got to tell you, if they lose this series, I really don't want to put it on Donovan. I want to put it on the roster construction of this team.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would agree with that. It's 2 years in a row where I guess last year was not acceptable the way that you flamed out. But to lose to Orlando, I mean, Orlando can't even score. So that is just shows you how far away you are from you know, championship contention, because the, you know, this should be a gimme here. What did you guys think of the way, like, to me, it's also mindset. Like, who is approving losing on purpose to Charlotte? I thought that was his, I mean, I'm sure you guys spent like
Anthony Lima approved. Anthony Lima approved of losing on purpose to Charlotte.
That's disgusting, because what it tells you, Lima, is you just wanted to win one series instead of multiple series. Because if you like, even look how it's opened up on the other side of the bracket with Miami gets hurt, when you potentially could have been the two seed. Philadelphia hasn't looked fantastic with Embiid. Like, yeah, and you would have had an easier second round matchup as well. So it's kind of karma that they're getting struck with right now.
Yeah, I just think that game was such a bizarre scenario, because at the same time you had the Knicks game versus the Bulls that goes into overtime. The Cavs were already monitoring minutes for Donovan Mitchell, and rightfully so. The last thing the Cavs could happen was an injury, and they lost actually their only guard that was available that game to an injury. Plus, I don't know, you're watching Philadelphia. Do you think the Cavs could have beaten Philadelphia with even Embiid on one leg, but Maxey at his level?
No, but then why should Donovan Mitchell? Yeah, exactly. Like, I agree with you, but then why should Donovan Mitchell want to stay? Like, if you got a roster that's afraid of, you know, Philadelphia with Embiid like on one leg, if you can't compete with Embiid on one leg.
Honestly, I think they were more afraid of Donovan Mitchell and his health than anything. I think they were protecting Mitchell. Sure, I'm sure Mitchell wanted to play. I'm sure Mitchell wanted to play in every game, but that is not what you wanted going into the playoffs, having the guy be banged up, because, I mean, the guy has no leaps, no burst right now, no elevation as it is, and then he has a disappearing act in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, just from what I saw of that game, it looked like you're losing on purpose, because it wasn't just Mitchell that they sat out.
Yeah, they pulled everybody.
Right? Yeah, they pulled everybody.
But Darius Garland did not play in that game either. They only had one guard available to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, why didn't Darius Garland play? Was he hurt?
He's been kind of nursing stuff, the back injury.
Oh, he's been nursing all year,
whole year. It's been one thing after another with Darius.
You're not helping my argument over here, Justin. I thought you were going to really help. You didn't help me.
Well, once I found out that you were the person on that side of the argument, I'm like,
but realistically,
you decided to tank it?
I mean, what's it matter if they can't – hold on. If they can't beat Orlando, the one team that has no playoff experience anyway, then I guess it's a moot point. They couldn't beat anybody.
Exactly. So moot point. I mean, but it just showed like a lack of – it showed a lack of confidence, which I don't like. Because, like, I think to a couple of years ago – remember when the Nets, everybody's like, oh, Boston should be, you know, we're trying to avoid the Nets in the first round. And then Milwaukee actually did try and do that on purpose. Boston faced the Nets. They swept them in the first round. Then in the second round, they had home court advantage over Milwaukee. That went to seven games, and Boston ended up winning in large part because they had home court in the second round, something that Milwaukee didn't want. So I think it always comes back to bite you. Just win the games in front of you. And it's also the mindset of the team. You see the way New York plays? Like, New York's got some grit to them. New York's got some confidence to them. They're like, we're not going to throw a game just to get an easier opponent in the first round. We're going to go out there. We're going to try to beat the Bulls on the final day of the season. I'm like, I'm sure you're keeping an eye on the way New York plays. They're not the most talented team, but they got grit.
LeBron James, has he played his last game with the Los Angeles Lakers?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the guy wants to be out there in Hollywood. So I think they'll probably end up trying to make a move for his kid. I don't think that's the smartest thing to do. But I think he's happy where he is. I mean, I guess he could go to a place like what? What are the options? Philadelphia to play with Embiid?
You really see him playing in another jersey other than Cleveland or L.A. at this point? Wouldn't that not be great for the legacy?
I mean, he doesn't care. What does he care? He hops from team to team. He doesn't care.
He's been with three, and he came back to Cleveland. I think you just hate LeBron.
I do hate LeBron, which is why today is one of the best. Like, today is always one of the great days of my life in a year, is the day after he's eliminated.
Why do you hate LeBron so much?
Because I just think he's a hypocritical narcissist. So, I'm happy that he's eliminated.
Justin, if he plays with Steph Curry next year, can they win the championship?
Of course. I mean, yeah. Do you not
really
think they could? Yeah. I mean, LeBron's still a, you know, top 12 player, at least come postseason time, when he digs in on defense. And Steph, to me, is still one of the top, like, seven or eight players. So then you got two top 12. Yeah. But again, they have probably two top 12 players right now, and they lost in five games in the first round.
All right, Justin, thank you very much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for
having me. Hey, are you going to get your Instagram account back from the hackers?
It's been hacked. My sister's working on it for me, but I'm, you know, not technologically savvy. So whatever. I don't care. I just used it to slide into the DMs of very attractive women anyway. I very rarely got a response.
Yeah, so I woke up yesterday and I saw you pitching for a Hellcat. And I'm going, okay, well, obviously he's been hacked and that's the end of that.
Well, the problem is people are contacting me, like congratulating me on the fact I got a new car and a new house, like I'm bragging about it. So now I'm the one, like LeBron, who seems like a narcissist, posting about how great my life is and how I'm better than everybody else.
Most people and, just hate people because they remind them of themselves. And you definitely hate yourself, and that's why you hate LeBron.
Maybe that's maybe a good point.
Yeah, thank you very much. See, you usually have to pay for that type of analysis. Justin Termini, we thank him for being on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coming up!
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.